Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earl, and here are today's topics. Chelsea dropped two crucial points at home after 1-1 draw with Everton. Manchester City thrash Leeds 7-0 at the Etihad. Liverpool come from behind to secure a victory against Newcastle. Arsenal's crucial result in their 2-0 victory over West Ham. And we celebrate the legendary career of Sergio Aguero. All that coming up in today's episode. Okay, Robbie Earl, top of that list, list was Chelsea. And I think we've realised how things are going in the Premier League. And we talk about a top three now that went down from a top four. Are we starting to think there could be a top two? With this result for Chelsea, is that where we're heading?
Can I hold your reins a little bit? Can I just hold you back?
Good question.
Is there not a bigger topic that we need to discuss in terms of COVID and games played and games available and what's happened in the last week? Should we not just touch there before we then get into Chelsea? Because I actually think there's part of this discussion will bleed into the Chelsea discussion. But you're right. Just in terms of COVID, Rob, and you know, today we've had six games postponed, five over the weekend, one today. We've got nine games postponed in the last week. As things stand, this weekend match week 17, there'll be five games that play and five games postponed. Obviously, drastic measures from the Premier League to try and keep the league going, to keep some momentum, and those that can play in the safest circumstances or trying to play. Do you feel, Rob, we're getting to the point where it might need a lockdown, it might need what people are calling breaking the chain, maybe a week off? Would it have been advisable maybe to go a week off and then let's get everybody ready for that Boxing Day game? That's 10 days in terms of isolation and getting things right. Or are you okay with where we're on the Premier League? Excuse me. Wrong sip of my coffee. Are you happy playing the games with the teams that are fit enough and able to get enough players out there?
Yes, I am. You know, that's kind of controversial. Some fans might say, you know what, it's not kind of fair. Some clubs have got more positive cases than others. Some teams are weaker than others. I just feel, Rob, that if the game can go ahead, let's get the games played. I'm just worrying that there's going to be more and more cases, more and more games postponed. And when we can get games on, when it's okay with the Premier League, and I'm sure they're going to hear about it from every single club about how many cases they've got. We know that it's kind of case by case basis, but the Premier League have, I should imagine, pretty similar parameters for calling games off. Yeah. I just feel, you could take everybody out of it for a weekend. Is that really going to stop the uptick in cases over the next few weeks and months? Probably not. So I feel, let's get the games played. You know, fixture congestion, you know, right now there's enough weeks and there's enough midweeks that they can throw some games in there, rearrange games. I'm just worried, Rob, of COVID season, where there's so many games last year that shoved together. I don't want to see that. So I'm okay with them playing the games. Let's get them played if they can. And obviously try the best that they can to get the games played. Do you feel differently to that?
No, I'm with you. I believe if the two sides can put out strong enough teams and they can play in a safe enough environment, let's play the game. Why should we not really in those circumstances? I mean, I've heard and read some counter arguments today about the sporting integrity of the league and that you might be playing a team that's weakened because they might be missing four or five big name or starters in the team. I get that, but I kind of think it's one of those situations where everybody's in the same boat, and if you can get a strong enough team out, of course, this probably helps the stronger, the bigger clubs with more depth in their squads. But I agree. I just think to push games back that could be played, you know, to distort the league a little bit. When you look at teams like Spurs already, a couple of Premier League games behind, and if we go three or four, just feel like the league gets distorted then as well. And there's all these catch-up games, and it, you know, it doesn't quite feel the same. So let's see how we go. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we can get these games played. The teams who have got the COVID outbreaks can get that isolation period and get players back onto the pitch. And hopefully, like say, by Boxing Day, we can get back to full match week fixtures and everybody being fit and healthy and playing the games.
Yeah, I just hope that the Premier League, Rob, I know they've kind of refreshed the protocols for Premier League clubs.
Yeah.
You know, with the social distancing.
Yeah, I've heard. Less all physical contact.
Emergency, yeah.
Less time indoors, yeah.
Let's hope that clubs are doing that.
I think, Charlie, just to put in, sorry, mate, as well. I think, like, the experiences of last year, the experiences that people have been through now, I think should hold them in good stead. It's not the first time now we've seen these things. And I think having had last year and understanding it and maybe working with players and having those protocols in place, hopefully means that there's a bit more experience to deal with the things that are happening now.
Do you think, and this maybe is an unfair question, Rob, as we finish on this, different clubs have different amounts of virus. Is there, of course, there's a randomness to it, we understand that, but certain clubs, do you think there's any difference? I'll put it like this. Is there any difference with the way that clubs are working around this virus than others? Is there anything to be said for that? I think Liverpool... Are they managing the squad? You know,
yeah,
I know
that
Jurgen Klopp has been very public about he got boosted as soon as he could. I think he said 99% of the first team squad are you know, he wants it more. He's not afraid to say what people's status is in terms of vaccinations.
I think that's a difficult. I think it's a difficult one because obviously the civil rights, different people have a right to either want the vaccine or not, and boosters or not. Obviously, playing. I think what the clubs, I think the thing that the clubs must do is as you say, with these new protocols, be as stringent as they can to make sure these distance, to make sure this separation, to work with maybe those who haven't been vaccinated, to keep goalkeepers apart because they're key players and things. I think there's all these things in place now where the clubs have to be stringent and the players really have to take this seriously because the last thing we'd need is an outbreak into the new year, the league shut down and then we're playing catch up again into what is going to be a World Cup year. So you're right, but hopefully you know the clubs are across that, the managers and everybody take it seriously and this doesn't go too far. But obviously disappointing to you that 5 games off over the weekend, but there is 5 games at play. So, moving forward to your question, Mr. Mustafa, and one of the reasons why I just veered off on that with Chelsea is, you know, to start the game, we have to say that I think it was Lukaku, Werner and Hudson-Odoi apparently possibly tested positive even, and they weren't eligible or available to play, obviously, because of that. So, it was a different looking Chelsea. Maybe some will suggest it's a challenge on their depth a little bit of Chelsea, a bit more rotation, certainly in the front areas of the pitch. But it's a Chelsea, Rob, that is starting to, I would think, cause a little bit of concern to Thomas Tuchel. It's not quite playing out, I think, right now. And it's not just necessarily the results, and we can talk about results, but just some like what you see with your eye. It's not quite fitting together as well as didn't it? And listen, they had, I think, up to 80% possession, had 20 shots. But, you know, lack of taking chances, lack of real sort of threat in behind. It just doesn't quite feel like it's the Chelsea that started the season that, you know, with Lukaku and everything looking and everyone going, wow, this team look like they're ready to really go the distance.
Yeah, I think first thing to say is that their team was still pretty strong today, Rob. Compared to Everton's, you know, Everton have got cases of their own and injuries of their own, and their team was a lot weaker. Young players starting, young players coming off the bench. So fair play to Everton, and we'll give them credit when the time after we've just addressed Chelsea. So still a very strong team. I just think there's another example today, Rob, that the Chelsea's style of football, it's so good in some ways, but it's so frustrating in other ways. They have so much control. I think I've mentioned this a few times on the pod. Their style of football, Rob, is so slow. The build-up is so slow and so patient that gives them tremendous control of games and it gives them tremendous territory in games. But what does it also do? It also enables, in some ways, encourages teams to park the bus.
Drop off,
To park the bus. Because it's so slow, so they can park it a lot and quickly and with no problem. It's not that quick. The goal came, Rob, the Mason Mount goal came from a little moment in the game where it got a little bit end to end, and Everton broke well and looked like scoring. Then so all of a sudden the game rhythm, the flow was different. And there's a turnover, they break, they score. That's different to like, okay, left, centre, here we go, up, so, back, slide. That makes so it hard to create
in contrast, in the two teams then, would you are you saying, because City dominate possession in sometimes a similar way, obviously it's like different in possession, but are you saying that City's speed of play is better than, is more increased than Chelsea, and that's why they probably create better chances with their possession than Chelsea's, that gives people a chance? Because Pep's often talked about, hasn't he, when people park the bus, how difficult sometimes it is for his teams to break them down as well, whether you're a false nine or a striker. He's always talked about that being one of his issues with his team. But I think there's a difference between City's passing movements and Chelsea's passing movements, to make to your point.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. There's definitely a lot more forward passes City when they can. But there's also a difference in the system that they play and the way that they're dribbling, attacking Mahrez, Sterling, Foden, Grealish. They're the wingers. So their wide play is better than Chelsea's. Chelsea's players, I think Danny Higginbotham said it on the broadcast tonight, always want to be inside. The Ziyechs and the Mason Mounts and the Pulisic, they operate from an inside position. Whereas we've talked about on this show loads of times before, Pep really batters the outside. He batters that, whether it's the fullbacks, whether it's those wingers, whether it's midfield players, making runs around those areas to get in those little red zones we talk about in behind defenders. So they've got it grooved off better, Rob, than Thomas Tuchel has. Again, it's similar but different. So I think it's a good point and very different. Liverpool are different again. They don't they don't have quite so much controlling possession. I mean, still tons of it. Yeah. I just think Chelsea might, and that's why Lukaku came in, Rob, and that's why I thought and many others thought, wow, this is different. Now you've got a real cutting edge to that possession, that territory. But as we're seeing, of course, he's out with COVID right now. And when he comes back, maybe that makes a difference. But I still just feel, and if you look at the table of expected goals, Chelsea is so far behind the top two, Liverpool and Man City. So more progressive quality in the wider areas might help. That being said, we've praised certainly Reece James for getting in good spots, scoring goals. But today it just didn't happen. Everton was sat back in there. There was no space wide. And also, all that being said, right, they had two unbelievable chances in the first half. Reece James.
Chelsea did. Yeah, Reece James.
Chelsea in the first half where they could have
changed the game, wouldn't
it? Much earlier.
Tuchel mentioned that in his presser. And it was interesting as well. Tuchel made a good point. He said that at the moment, they have to work so hard to get goals, but the opposition don't have to work so hard to concede. And that's kind of also one of the problems, Rob. For all that possession and things that you're saying that isn't happening at the other end, they're starting to get a bit leaky. The clean sheets are not quite the same. So all of a sudden, maybe you've got to score a couple of goals. Then you would know clean sheets in the last six in all competitions. Isn't the team we've seen really under Tuchel from the moment he's been through the door.
Yeah, I mean, they scored the goal today, Rob, and that should be 1-0 done and dusted. Yeah. They scored the first goal. I mean, I guess any team can score on a set piece. It's just a little period for them like that at the moment where they're not finishing off. They haven't got the striker that they wanted to bring in to finish these games off. And, you know, mistakes, conceding a set piece today from Jared Braithwaite, his first Premier League goal, I believe.
First goal,
tremendous for him in the 75th minute. Enjoyed his interview afterwards. Young, raw, buzzing with
Carlisle,
life.
Wasn't he? Young kid from Carlisle, yeah.
Yeah, so fair play to him and fair play to Rafa Benitez.
Yeah.
That organised the team, that rolled their sleeves up. This team has got spirit. We said this, you know, from last week. And then they're so poor, weren't they, in the weekend?
Yeah, against Palace. Yeah, yeah. They beat Arsenal on a high. They go to Palace, and it's that up and down, and it's that roller coaster that you just would like to see him have a good performance tonight, as you say. And he's got Jared Bowen. He had Ellis Sims up top, 20-year-old striker.
Yeah.
He had Anthony Gordon, 20-year-old winger. 19-year-old Jared Braithwaite starts in defence, comes up at the end, gets a really important goal for them. And do you know what else I thought deserves it? A great sort of reward is the Everton fans, by the way, mate. I was listening, I was watching a game, listening, God, they were singing and shouting in the first half. They were getting behind the team second. I mean, they get the goal and then they... I mean, they don't half give their all, don't they? I mean, if the players could play anything like as much as those... Certainly those away fans would give. I think, you know, they'd be top four material 11, but, you know, they just want their club, don't they? And it was pleasing today because they were up against it with young players in the team, a little bit of inexperience against one of the big hitters in the Premier League. And I thought they gave a good count of themselves. Hung in there, you know, broke when they can, had one or two opportunities, get a great goal through the kid and deserved their point, to be honest. They did deserve their point.
Just finishing up on this game, Rob, like just back to the original kind of idea. It's obviously recoverable. They're not far off the top spot in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Tuchel's got to go again here, hasn't he? He's got to show what, you know, the that he's merited the praise that we've given him and everybody's given him since coming into the Premier League with Chelsea. And of course, winning the Champions League was incredible. But it's a little challenging now. It's got a little blip, probably the first little continued blip where the defence hasn't been as good. The same issue pre-Lukaku was there, where it's a little bit tippy-tappy. It's a little bit in front all the time. Even the last few minutes, Rob, where it's like, get the ball forward.
Yeah, go on, yeah.
They're still messing around with the ball. Everything was a little bit in front of Everton. And again, when we used to play, Rob, that's fine. You have it over there. You have the ball. You have the possession numbers. You're not really hurting us. And we've got time, you know, time and energy saving here while you're knocking the ball in front of us. So that's something that Tuchel's got to address. He really has. Yeah.
And we've seen of all the great managers who come into this league, mate, at some point you get tested, at some point you get challenged, and it's how you react to that, how you come good or good. Because that squad is deep enough and good enough, I think. I don't think we need to be talking about loads of additions. I think with that squad, if you get, you know, Kovacic back, you get Kante back, you get Lukaku back, Werner and one of, there's enough in that squad, but they've just got to work out, like you say, a couple of things maybe on training ground and stuff like that, which isn't going to be easy with all the games and the COVID at the moment. So they've got to find a way of working out. Maybe video work is the future for Chelsea. Mm. Let's move on, mate, to a team who don't seem to have any problems at the moment. There was no questions about centre-forwards. There was no questions about false nines, which means Manchester City won. Not only did they win, they purred to a 7-0 thrashing of Leeds. Bielsa, with one of his students in Pep Guardiola, came up very short with his Leeds team on this occasion. And the headlines for me were KDB just take on at his best when he's playing at another level, Rob, take City to another level, and City's ability to destroy you, really, with that passing and movement and those goals that we always say, well, where are the goals going to come from? Yesterday was a perfect example of they can come from all over the pitch with City, the way they play.
Mm. Yeah, the couple of things for me was Leeds is a unique game, and Pep talked about it. It's like twice a year you've got to deal with this man-to-man marking. And it was pretty straightforward, I think, from Leeds. I think it was Foden, wasn't it? Played up front as a false nine.
Yeah, Foden.
For the most part,
he
came deep. He pulled a centre-back way onto the outside, which left the space there for the midfield players to run through. And quite simply and honestly, the Leeds players just couldn't handle the one-on-ones. No. Tyler Roberts was on Rodri, which should be... I mean, that should be Rob. I know he's a forward, Rob. It should be one of the easier man-to-man. Just like make sure he's ahead of you. Keep goal side when they have the ball. But he certainly muscled him out for one of the early goals. Mm. Got by him a few times.
Second goal, yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne, it was Adam Forshaw that just couldn't stay with De Bruyne. And it's a simple, I just thought it was a simple, okay, this is 1v1 and Leeds were nowhere near. You know, maybe more tired from recent games. They've been looking a little bit better. But City's ability to move the ball and to be consistent with the ball and to have that possession, that territory, but also just individually running past their guys was a stunning part. And you're right, I made the same note. I mean, it's kind of scary the way they've been playing right now. And De Bruyne, two goals, but not just that. If we look at him play, if you looked at him really closely, he doesn't have to look fit and strong.
He looks really good.
Yeah, it looks and I watched the 85th minute. I think he made an overlapping run on the inside right position, Rob. He's fit, he's strong, he's ready to go. I mean, that adds to what they've been doing so far, which is, you're right, goals from all over the place. And it's pretty remarkable. And You know what else about City, Rob, is that's pretty remarkable? And maybe it's just something we have said before, but there's no real strongest team for City. I couldn't tell you what the strongest team was.
Yeah,
there isn't a strongest team.
Yeah.
They got 22 first team players.
Yeah. Interchangeable though, aren't they? Yeah. John Stones played right back, must he?
Yeah, no problem.
Play like a right back, you know, and fits in. You know, Cancelo could play in a midfield. They can play Rodri more in a holding position. I mean, it's just 11. Well, don't count the goalkeeper, but
20 players.
Yeah. But there's 11 interchangeable positions on the pitch, and they play them in all. There's one day, I'm telling you now, Pep Guardiola is going to get Edison out the goal. He'll end up in midfield one day just to prove Pep's point that you don't need a centre forward and you don't necessarily need a goalie. He almost play like rush goalie, what you used to play when you're a kid, where the closest person to the goal can stop it going in the goal. I mean, he is redefining things and the way that he played. I just thought it was a great day for KDB, who, when, you know, apparently was saying he's still been struggling from COVID and injury, and he's obviously one of them, Rob. He has to feel good in himself to get the best out of him. And when he does feel good, he there isn't many better in the league. I thought it was a good day for Jack because not only the goal, it's important, but in a big win, in a good day, Jack was a big part of it. And I think that's important for him to feel part of with the good group.
Absolutely like, right.
You know, we can win 7-0 with me. Not with Semed Nil and I'm sitting on the side and we're a good team and not scoring. He was part of it, and I thought that was important for Jack.
I thought it was really important.
Happy on his left-hand side as well, where he played. From Bielsa's point of view, Rob, and I have to go back to the point when I made it last year, I think, and some people weren't happy saying, oh, Bielsa plays this way. He's got, you know, a little question mark now with him when you get beat 7, any team, I don't care who you are. They haven't had a brilliant season. Yes, there's been injuries and other things that have contributed. But I still go back to the point where as great a coach as he is, there should be more observation to those days when the defending that he's set up and it's man-to-man and it's running wherever they go, if that isn't working, a coach like him should be able to say, OK, we revert to something else. And I'm not saying go away from his philosophy. Maintain the philosophy 95%. But if 5% of the days where, hold on, we're getting done here, like Foden's pulling us all over and we can't stick with our runners, I would think a coach of his experience and knowledge and greatness, when you talk to people around the game who've worked with him, have been around him, why there is no alternative. I kind of think if that was Brendan Rodgers or if that was Steve Bruce, we'd be saying, coach has got to do something about it. For some reason with Bielsa, because of his standing in the game, and I get what he's done and how he's worked, it almost feels a reluctant to have that criticism.
Yes, I hear you, Rob. It's so different what he does. If you've got in the back of the mind, it's not working, are we going to go back to our zonal? I still don't have a problem, and this is just me. This was a really bad day for Leeds United. Bielsa said it's the worst day that Leeds has had with him as manager.
Yeah, apparently it's the first time he's had 7 goals put past him as a coach.
Heaviest defeat I think he's ever had. First time 7, so it was a horrific day for them. And it hasn't been a great season. I don't feel like you do, Rob. I still think that this season they've got a lot of injuries. He's did an incredible job to get them to this point. Last season was a joy, I'm sure, for Leeds fans to witness how they could witness it. The way that they played, they're having a tough season. They didn't invest money in the summer, I don't think, or didn't spend much money on adding to this squad. I feel it's like a grind out a little bit. It's not going to be the same, and then regroup and maybe add in the summer. I don't think it's time for the manager to change his philosophy. He's just not that guy, Rob, is he? He's never been that guy.
Change of philosophy. I'm not. That's the difference. Change of philosophy. I just think that you can tweak things, Rob. Pep Guardiola's tweaked things. Everybody, including you, would say well, Pep should have got Kane, he can't win it without Kane. Now, Pep believes he doesn't need Kane because if he believes in his system, and at the moment he's proving that system doesn't need Kane.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Listen, Pep knows if Man City were third in the table, 7 points adrift, it'd be on him about, you know, oh, Pep's got to, he can't do it without the centre forward or blah,
yeah,
blah,
but he wouldn't change anything, Rob. He wouldn't change the way they play. What's your point? What are you thinking?
Point is Harry Kane would play differently than they are playing. With Harry Kane in your team is different than how they're playing now. But Pep believes in what he's doing and he's getting the results of what he's doing. I'm saying if things start to go wrong, like you're saying with Tuchel, Tuchel's got to work it out. You don't say Tuchel's doing okay, he's got a great group of players, they're just going through a bad patch. You go, this is a bit of a test for Tuchel. For some reason, and again, I'm a Bielsa fan, so but I'm saying, I always look at those great coaches who tweak something then. Okay, people know that the man-for-man thing is an issue. Maybe on days when physically they're not great and that's going to get exposed. So is there a plan for when those days come, how can Leeds be a little bit different? How can Leeds stop the bleeding?
Well, the only way, and this is where I think we're having the difference here, is that I think the Chelsea Tuchel thing is some minor movement tweaks and some, like, you know, something that's not as fundamental. And City would be the same as well, be a little bit different on Tuchel to get success, a little bit different with Harry Kane. This is changing so much, even though it's for certain moments in games. But for me to say I'm not man-marking Earl. You're going to go in a 4-4-2. You're going to go zonal marking, and whoever's in your area, it's just a very different setup. It's a bigger change, Rob, that you're asking for, in my opinion. I for those players that have been drilled really well under Bielsa to have insurance guy at the back that's got no man marking and everybody else, they're going to have bad days. And it's also when they have a bad day, it's like, well, the players. It's sort of so man to man, so set on the individuals. If I have a bad day,
you've got to win more of those individual battles, haven't
right.
you?
When you don't, it's more like Tyler Roberts didn't do his job. Like that's why we concede the goals. Or if I'm Adam Forshaw, he didn't stay with De Bruyne. Is that the manager's fault that he couldn't do it? Potentially it is, because he did the wrong matchups, maybe. Calvin Phillips was injured. Forshaw's that guy in that position. He couldn't handle De Bruyne.
Yeah. Maybe that's the point against maybe some of the bigger boys. Does he have to adapt that against those guys who are the top four, let's say?
When you say adapt it, Rob, adapt it, you're saying do away with the man-to-man.
No, I'm not saying do away. I'm saying you could do part man-to-man or part passing on. You can pass people on to somebody. Like, he's coming out there and I'll come in here. Not me follow Foden out there and leave that gap. Actually, me say to Alien or whoever, Foden's coming out, deal with him out there. Or we'll let the ball go out there, but I'll stay in the middle and not allow these gaps. Now, if De Bruyne's running off somebody or Rodri's running off, I'm there to deal with him.
Yeah, so a different kind of tactical
and adapting on the tactical
setup
in certain situations,
which
give me a little bit more, a little bit more of a security net on days when the opposition are too good or we might be having bad days. Again, listen, it's a little point there, I just wanted to put out there, and we try and be honest and try that. I think if that was other managers, for some reason the Bielsa thing, it doesn't bug me, but it's just like. He can also do a little bit better. He's the manager. He's a great manager of a team that we've seen play brilliant football last year. I mean, we're a joy to watch. And at times have shown moments, but at times show naivety that I think is going to hurt him.
Yeah, I think just finishing up here, he does it his way, Rob, I suppose.
Yeah.
He will probably say, if you don't want my way and you want somebody else to do it a different way with a plan B and a plan C and a plan D, then you get them. And I heard a few Leeds fans on the radio just driving back from the studio the other day, and it was kind of interesting. Like, some of them were saying things like that, but most, I've got to say, is like, this is a difficult year. Like, Leeds, we can't believe where we're at right now. We can't believe we're in the Premier League. We can't believe how good it is to watch them sometimes. This is a tough slog. And. Yeah. You know, it's going to happen a little bit sometimes. So, it's a good point, Robert. Yeah, I think we're always going to be a little bit different with that one because it's such a different, the way he does it is so different. Pep said it, like twice a year, we have to prepare for this.
It's
so different.
It's unique, yeah. Yeah, maybe next year get people fit, get a few bodies in, and it'll look
back
a little
to
bit
doing
more
their
like
thing better.
Yeah, yeah, last season. Let's move it on to Liverpool, who were going quite nicely at the top of the table. Went 1-0 down here. John Joe Shelvey bringing drama, but good drama from Newcastle's point of view, scoring against his former team. But Liverpool got the goals back. Jota, Salah, and a beautiful strike from Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah.
Just want to take you to Liverpool's first goal, Robbie Musto. There was a collision from, I think, a corner that came in. Hayden stayed down. It wasn't too dissimilar to the De Gea, but whether it looked like a head injury. Newcastle players wanted the ball played out. Liverpool have absolutely no reason to have to play the ball out. They can continue to play. It's down to the referee to stop the game. Or Hayden was down. Jota got in the far post, has two attempts, brings them back level. Newcastle go crazy. Were you okay with the goal and with Liverpool playing on in the way that they did?
I was okay with Liverpool playing on. I'm not okay with Mike Dean. Mike Dean has got to blow the whistle.
Has anybody ever been okay with Mike Dean?
He did great avoiding Trent Alexander's
shot later on.
This is different. There's plenty of time for him to see from his position.
Yeah.
Two players came together. It looked like a head injury. It's right in the middle of the box.
Yeah,
the attack's going on. You've got to blow the whistle. It's not fair. It's not fair. You know, first of all, for the safety of the players, but also when you've got a player, there's two down, wasn't it? It was two players were down, or certainly
two were down, and one got up, and Hayden stayed down. Right. Yeah, sure, so, I think somebody. Yeah.
You've got to blow the. He's right. I mean, people could stand on him. They could. Not. It's just not.
It was awkward, wasn't it? I mean, Jota was almost tiptoeing around him to get to the ball and then to get the rebound.
It's dangerous. I didn't like it, but I'm not going to criticise the Liverpool players because, you know, you're going to play on. You're attacking.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might not have seen him in the middle, but the referee, I just thought that he had enough time and he had an angle to see what's going on. I'm blowing the whistle here. We've got to stop it. There's in a dangerous position. So I didn't like the refereeing. Didn't like the referee in that time. Yeah. I saw that and I thought this is, and I'm pleased you brought it up because I forgot about it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. I thought the referee should have blown the whistle. So tough for Newcastle there. I watched Eddie Howe. Like, everyone's jumping around in celebration. The fans are going crazy. And he stood there like this with his arm out. And I totally agree.
That should
not have happened.
Yeah,
simple.
You wonder if that was at the other end and that was Trent down and that's at Anfield, he'd have blown the whistle against Newcastle. He'd have blown the whistle. That's
just not there.
We're talking about penalty. But Liverpool in the end got the job done. You know, it was a plucky Newcastle performance, but Liverpool get the win again. Important win. Don't think they were quite the best. Thiago didn't have his best day. Mo Salah, Rob, just continues to. I mean, he's got 15 goals in the Premier League at this stage. That's only one less than Spurs have got as a team. I mean, it's ridiculous. His number.
And he's on for 30 plus. He's on for which in a 38 game season is astounding. Really, I mean, to score 30 plus in a 38 game season, it's just remarkable what he's doing and the way that he is right now. I know that the big concern with Liverpool fans is his contract, Rob. And I thought about this a little bit because I think when you get into your 30s, what is he now, by the way? Is he just 30?
Is he 29 or 30 coming up? Yeah, it's one.
I think clubs, and rightfully so, are just a little concerned about players just. We've seen it at Aubameyang right now, you could argue. We've seen it with a few other players that just get over a period where they. But I think when you look at him and you look at his style of play and you look how flipping chiseled he is, there's not a flipping ounce of fat on him, and how fit and how durable and how he plays every single week, I think you've got to forget about the age in this one. This is the one where it's like, he's an amazing player.
He's Jamie Vardy and he's Peter Pan.
He's a Jamie Vardy. So in this case, give him what he wants, you know, within reason, because he ain't dropping off for me. No. As long as he's still hungry to play, he's going to get the contract that he wants. He says he wants to stay at the football club.
Yeah.
I think it's money well spent because, I mean, maybe this is the famous last words, I don't see him dropping off anytime soon, given how fit and hungry he is to score goals.
And I think sometimes you look at players, Rob, and I look at him and he's a Liverpool player. You know what? It's almost like it won't look right to see him in another shirt now. He's so committed to that football club. He so wants to do well. He's so driven. He so loves the. He so fits in with what Liverpool are and how they are and the great goal scorer. You're right. You just feel. But in fairness to Jurgen Klopp, he said, you know, these contracts at this stage of career, this size, take time, and we're just hopefully going through the process. So yeah. I get the sense that Liverpool are going to try and work through it. Obviously, it's about getting... Both parties have got to come out of it feeling it's the right deal. But I think as long as Klopp's there, as long as Liverpool fans will have a say, and Mo Salah wants to stay at the football club, I think that they'll get the job done.
Yeah, it's 29. It's 29. He's 30 in June.
Okay, mate, let's move on. Liverpool getting the job done, getting the three points, which was the most important thing. Let's move it to Arsenal, because I thought this was a really interesting game at the end. It's Arsenal versus West Ham, an informed West Ham. West Ham were sitting fourth in the table before the game, taking on an Arsenal team in decent nick, looking to put the Aubameyang stuff behind them and get the job done. And they did. Another clean sheet, another 2-0 win. Two goals from youngsters Martinelli and Emil Smith-Rowe. Mikel Arteta, in some respects, winning the PR battle, certainly if he's won with Aubameyang and that whole thing, putting that to one side. Lacazette was again the captain. And I, again, have to say, West Ham are a very good team, Rob. Arsenal were better on the day. Arsenal, I thought, were better.
Yeah, I think it's a very good win. I thought the tempo, the energy in the stadium, the energy that they played with football. I mean, West Ham, like I said, West Ham are a good side. So the times it didn't look like there's much between them. Yeah. But Arsenal still looked the more progressive team, the team that was better, that did look like scoring more often. Martinelli takes his goal really well. Lovely bit of football to create the space for him. Smith Rowe, you know, again, continues to look a million bucks and is getting better and better and better, it seems. And it was a good win. Yeah, the whole Aubameyang stuff, that again, the whole captaincy thing, and the club spoke to him and the manager spoke to him, and it's painful. It was such a big story they've made it. I mean, it's a big call from Arteta to go strong on a player that, you know, we've had this conversation, but it hasn't really been a problem for his whole career. Yeah, all of a sudden under Mikel Arteta, he's, you know, for whatever reason, I'm sure there's a ton more things behind the scenes that we don't know about, which is hard for us to really to get a grasp of that. But when you're winning games and when your team's doing well, and when, you know, some of your young players are providing the goals that Aubameyang should have been scoring, then it's all good. It's all good. And Arteta will take that praise. And hopefully for him and the team and the fans, you know, move together in a positive way and stay. I mean, they're top four. They're in the, you know,
top four, yeah.
You know, I just thought, saying in the last time I was in the studio, that, you know, they're 2 points off top four. You know, everything's going for them. And yet you throw in this huge story of Aubameyang was being publicly kind of vilified by the club and the manager.
Yeah.
It's kind of a risky move. But again, you play like that and the young players score the goals for you, then it would be seen as a good move. I'm still not convinced that this interaction won't hurt them further down the road. We'll see how Aubameyang reacts, Rob. You know, if he's going to get his head down, take the various slaps on the wrist and slaps everywhere to come back and be a part of the team, we will see. But for now, and the same on the North London Derby, we'll need after Mount for being late. They won the game. It's all good. We'll see. This story is going to continue to be relevant. It just is. Unless Aubameyang just gets pushed out of the squad until January, and they managed to move him on in January, then it's all done with. I think for Arsenal's point of view, that probably, well, it will be the best. It will be the best scenario, I think, for Martin. What he wants.
It's cleaner, doesn't it?
I think he wants him out.
So. And he wants to move forward. And you have to talk about, I wanted you to talk about Gabriel Martinelli, because we've seen clips of him. He's had vivid injury problems since he's been at Arsenal. But somebody reminded me that it was almost like an Oba type goal that he scores, where he comes in on that left foot. That was when Oba was at his best, scoring goals for Arsenal, winning FA Cups and Community Shields, and that, playing from that side. And maybe you know, moving him on gives a chance to develop Martinelli, to give him more opportunity. Smith Rowe, Saka, Odegaard, young players who you've talked about. I was close to, again, I don't know, I think we might have done it before, but I was close to this week's underappreciated as Arsenal's academy, I was thinking, in terms of, and I know Martinelli came in, has been a couple of years, Odegaard's been bought, but I think about Smith Rowe and Saka and the players who've been in that football club. most times when you're struggling a little bit or things are difficult, I always think your pros, your experienced pros, get you out of it. And if you've got good pros around the place, with Arsenal, I wouldn't say it's been the opposite, but it's good play. Some young players have taken the weight of this football club in difficult circumstances, Rob, and continue to push forward with it. To sit fourth in the table with what's gone on and losing their best striker not being available and the fallout that what could have happened and if things didn't go well. I just think the young players deserve a little bit of credit here because they've stood big and they've shouldered some stuff. And I think it stands them in good stead. They're starting to build their Premier League careers and they're understanding that sometimes not everything's great, not everything's right. You miss a player, you're not informed, but how do you stay in games and win games and not play so well but get results. And I just think I get the sense Arteta's almost preferring to go with those guys and maybe have a little bit of up and down, but hopefully in the next year or two, see these guys through and have a team that's his team with young players who've come through difficult times and can take Arsenal on. So, you know, with good additions then bought in the relevant transfer windows, I always sense that's the way it'll feel like that's the way he wants to go forward.
A couple of things, Rob, I want to say there, and probably haven't got time now to go into this, but I think a topic for us to get into one time is the importance of senior pros for young players. I know that Danny Higginbotham was really strong about young players needing leadership, and Danny was very much against Aubameyang and what he'd done and how the young players. I would ask you a question for another day because there's a lot to get into.
Yeah.
Is it really all that? Do young players really need senior pros to be great?
Some of these young players
don't.
Some of these young players don't. A, because they're more confident. B, I think they've been better schooled through academies and things than some of the times when we played. So I would argue. But I think good pros around in difficult times are important. I think they are important.
Mm. Okay. Well, again, there's a lot we could get into. One more thing, Rob, before we move on, because West Ham United fans will not forgive us. The red card. Vladimir Soufal, second yellow.
I didn't really like it. I mean, it was interesting. David Moyes after was quite critical of Soufal. Thought Soufal should have just won the ball cleanly without having to make the challenge.
He said he made the
challenge.
Referee had a decision, which he did.
I thought it was harsh. Second yellow, kept it a bit. I thought he got enough of the ball first. And I know it's one of them, he made contact, but I don't know. Yeah, listen, if David Moyes ends up accepting it, then probably we should. But I thought it was a little bit fortuitous. And it was also, just on that point that, Lacazette, who looks like he's taken to the role and obviously he's a captain for the time being, there was a time with an Arsenal team would miss that penalty and draw that game. That's how Arsenal have been in the past. Oh, they don't take the penalty. Oh, now they've let a goal in. There's a little bit of difference. There's a little bit of something coming with this Arsenal group. And maybe it's young players together and the Ben Whites and the Gabriels and Ramsdales. There's a bit of something about this group that I'm starting to like. And it's great to Arteta, really. So maybe he saw it before we did.
You're absolutely right. I think West Ham, a little bit of a blip right now. Mikel Antonio, we talked about, I think, last time. Just looks a little bit off it at the moment. But I did expect a little bit more from West Ham. But fair play. Fair play to Arsenal. Fair play to the manager. Fair play to these young group of players. There's a foundation there now, Rob, which wasn't there before with certain players at the club. Now they've got a defensive structure. They've got a goalkeeper that's loving life, it looks like, and is going to be maybe a leader for this team. So, looking in great shape. And top four is a brilliant spot for them right now. Really, really great spot, considering the conversations that lots of people were having right at the beginning of the season where they lost the first three or four games.
Tremendous.
Great run. Yeah.
Let's move on quickly to a few other results in the midweek. Norwich 0, Aston Villa 0. Dean Smith against his former team. Stevie G goes from strength to strength, my friend. Four wins, two defeats. The defeats to Liverpool and City, both odd goal defeats. Just made an impression straight away. I think you've said now that the thing is, how long can he keep it going? I suppose that's always going to be the challenge. But all the indications I see, Rob, all the things I look at with the team, all the things I look at with the ex-player turned manager on the sideline in front of the press, I mean, just A+.
Rob, Villa couldn't win a game. They couldn't win a game before he came. Jack Grealish left the club, and they were really struggling, bereft of confidence, bereft of everything, really. And wow, what an amazing kind of boost he's given them. Again, it's like, keep it going. I mean, even if they drop off a little bit, that's still really, really good, because this squad's still kind of coming together. And so far, he looks $1 million, really, really good.
Stevie G getting the points there. Brighton 0, Wolves 1. Brighton no wins in 11, dropping. I think the Brighton we saw last season, lots of possession, good football, but it's always a Brighton but. Can't seem to turn that into goals. Wolves, well set up, well organised. No Jimenez because of his sending off, but Hee Chong Won played up front. Lovely ball from Neves to Saiss that gives them an opportunity with a bit of quality.
Lovely goal.
And that's enough for Wolves to get the points. And Wolves are eighth in the league, Rob, 24 points. I think he's done a really good job, Bruno Lodge, just quietly going about his business. Look, but any little worries for Graham Potter? Let's remember, it wasn't long ago his fans booed the draw, didn't he, at home, and he couldn't quite get his head around it. And they had just a little bit of a dip, starting to go the wrong way in the table at the moment. What are they? They've still got 20 points, and they'll still be fine, 13th in the league, 20 points. But any little worries for Graham Potter?
Only the same ones, Rob. The same ones of scoring. And, of course, the first part of the season when goals were going in, and people are like, oh, this is it. The expected goals in Brighton is always higher than they manage. This year they've started to get the goals, but it's not fundamentally changed, I'm afraid. So they're going to continue to look good and play some nice football and possess a lot and look good. But the cutting edge is still the one thing that's come back, basically. It's just come back to what they had last year. So they're going to be fine. But it's like, sign somebody better. Sign somebody better or again, tweak something where you get more shots, more crosses in the box, more players in the box, and maybe you're going to get a few more goals. Wolves, a great story. A great story. West Ham United, a great story. Wolverhampton Wanderers, a great story. Struggled under Nuno towards the end of his career. Different way of playing. Wolves, create Wolves. Bruno Lage, love him. Love him to bits. I think he speaks with emotion. He speaks really well tactically. His philosophy is very, very strong, like Nuno's was, to be fair. And the football is loads better. They've got players still to come back from injury, Rob, as well. Extra players to come back too. Pedro Neto just springs to mind, a player that I really, really like. So excellent. Brilliant job for Wolves. Like, it's one of the good time stories of the league this year.
You can't find a regular place for Adama Traore, which continues to baffle us, but not enough productivity from the great man. You wonder if he'll be there or somebody else might take a look at him. Other game at Sellers Park, Crystal Palace 2, Southampton 2. Palace 1-0 up after a couple of minutes, Wilf Zaha, and then Southampton come back with a Ward-Prowse brilliant free kick after a Broglie goal. And then, you know it's a bad day, or it's not going to be your day when Jordan Ayew scores against you. First goal in 44 games against Southampton that brings him level points. Who'll be the happier of the two managers there?
Ralf Hasenhüttl. Yeah. I mean, it's so up and down. It's pretty incredible, really. I think it's, you know, there's good and there's good Southampton and there's awful Southampton. You know, there's not much consistency there. For them, that's a good result because Palace are looking good at the moment. They're confident right now. We know the players from them that are doing so well. So that's a decent result for Southampton, and they need more of those. We were both worried, weren't we? We were both worried about Southampton this season.
Yeah, Adam Downey.
But then you see them a few times, get the results, and the way that they play, they should be okay. And then they have some disasters. So that much better, much better. That's a decent result for them. Not ideal, but better for them.
Little mention for James Ward-Prowse. That's his 11th free kick from that position. That's fourth in the all-time Premier League list. Seven behind the great David Beckham from that position.
Yeah, he's brilliant, mate.
Yeah, he's got enough time to maybe go close to that one if he can keep delivering like he is. I mean, it's almost like from that kind of distance, you're thinking goal, which is some standard that he's showing. Okay, mate, listen, just before we move things on and talk about, we talked a lot about Arsenal and top four and Champions League. Let's just review the Champions League draw that was made on Monday. It followed the disaster that was the F1 sports administration with I know Lewis Hamilton and that's Verstappen that you watched and couldn't believe. Then we got the Champions League draw, which was just as chaotic in the first place. The first draw went wrong. They had to draw again. Not sure if he benefited some of the English team. Certainly, it was Manchester United and PSG, I believe, would have been. It was in the original draw, but didn't come out. So, for the English teams, Manchester City got Sporting, Chelsea faced Lille, Atletico Madrid against Manchester United is an interesting one. Simeone coming to town, and Inter versus Liverpool were the four English teams involved in that. And then we got Red Bull Salzburg versus Bayern, Benfica versus Ajax, Villarreal against Juve, and PSG against Madrid, which should be another interesting game, Pochettino against Ancelotti in that one. But decent draws for the English teams in the competition. You would think Man City should get over Sporting. Chelsea, Lille over two games. They can stop being getting goals away. Atletico Madrid, Manchester United has got a nice ring to it, mate. I think that's going to be a difficult one over two legs, United.
Yeah, it really is. I think Simeone hasn't been, the team haven't been quite so good this year, but they find a way to qualify to this stage, and over two legs, they're tough. They're tough. So that is going to be a difficult one. We're not sure what sort of, certainly Man United team's going to show up at that point whenever, this is in February, isn't it? I think it's like middle of February.
So you'll have a bit of work by then.
He's had time to work with them. The whole team play should be better by then. Fascinating. Yeah, that's kind of one that catches your eye in the whole draw. And also, like, just going back to others, PSG versus Real Madrid. I mean, Real Madrid are picking up now, Rob, starting to find some form.
That's
going to be one that we'll try and watch as well at the time. So, Inter Liverpool, big names, big clubs. Inter, tricky, difficult right now. So, that's not going to be, that's going to be another hard game as well. So, it's a pretty good draw. I mean, the first draw, I'm like, wow, look at this. And then it gets like thrown out. I mean, it can't be that difficult, can it, to program a computer?
I know, you've got one job to do, basically, isn't it? I mean, just get the jewels.
It's not as they've just started doing it. They've been doing this for a long time now, so kind of weird,
We've got one thing to do, my friend, before we close today. It's our joint underappreciated performer of a career, really. It has to go to Sergio Aguero, who quite emotionally retired from full-time football this year with having some health issues and decided that it was the right thing to do to retire. Very emotional statement that he gave out at Barcelona. I believe Pep actually flew over to see him. I saw in some reports, don't know how true that was, that went over to him. But I just felt, maybe in closing, maybe a tip of the hat and a few words for Sergio Aguero and what he's done for English football on the world stage, really. And I know a player you saw very early in his Atletico Madrid days and had him down as, this guy's going to be very special.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, how difficult was it to watch him speak? It was heartbreaking. Everybody's there. He's struggling to talk, so emotional, just saying how he felt and thanking everybody. I mean, it was such a touching kind of 5 minutes or so that he spoke for. What a player, what a player. And he thanked, I think, those at Atletico Madrid for trusting him as a 17, 18-year-old player to come over and be involved in that club. And, I covered La Liga at that point for another network and doing a lot of their games. And I just thought he was a brilliant, brilliant player, skillful, great finisher, strong, could do the unexpected. And because of his strength, Rob, I just thought that he could do it in the Premier League. I think I said it in game commentary actually a couple of times. Like, God, I'd love to see him play in England, like in the Premier League. And of course, we got to see that with Man City's buying of him. And just his consistency, important goals. We all know about the goal that won them the title. But just in general as a player, he's got to be one of the best strikers the Premier League's ever seen. And there's been a lot of very good ones, of course. But he's right up there with what he's done at his club, the trophies that he's won, the consistency of goal scoring. And wherever you look, by the way, the goal scoring has been incredibly consistent from Argentina at the start. Well, and with the national team of Atletico Madrid in La Liga, with Manchester City, big, big numbers all the time. So it's, it happens to everybody for whatever reason. The game comes to an end for them. This is a particularly sad one where it's a health issue with a chest and potential heart issue. Don't know the full details of that, but it sounds like it's the right thing to do given the doctor's advice. And it just shows you, Rob, of all the success, of all the trophies, of all the money, I guess, what it means to a pure footballer that can't play professional football anymore. He's weeping when he realizes and says it out loud that he's not going to play anymore. So that just gives you a little bit of insight into players, and it's not all about the money and everything else. It's playing an incredible sport, getting paid well for it. So yeah, I couldn't speak any more highly of Sergio Aguero. Love watching him, love commentating on him, and love to see the success he's had, particularly with Manchester City and the trophies and the accolades that have come his way.
Yeah, 5 titles, 1 FA Cup, 6 League Cups. I mean, ridiculous. Yeah. And the thing, one of the things, you know, why I felt it was important as an underappreciated, because I do think he's gone under the radar for some people, Rob. I think he's gone as a bit underappreciated. When I think of Player of the Year, I don't think he's ever won the PFA Player of the Year. I mean, his goals stand up there with the very best. I'm not sure often he won Player of the Month. He was very rarely voted in the PFA Team of the Year.
Yeah,
Team of the Year. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, for me, the sadness that I'll never be able to say Aguero, the purest striker in the Premier League, because that was how I used to feel about him. I always used to say, Rob, if I was a coach in any position, and it's a last minute of a game to win a title, who do I want on the ball to finish? I'd say Sergio Aguero. Of all the players, and the Shearers are brilliant, and the Henrys, and the Coles, and all the great names who've played in this league, Van Persie's and Rooney's and all of them. One-on-one, if I've got somebody to put my money on who I believe will almost grow in that situation, I'd take Aguero. That's what he's meant to me over the league, like just goals. In a team where we've seen, actually, they can work it without goals. He was so important to that City team. He was 20 goals guaranteed, like, boom, there's your goal.
Yeah,
there's
your 15 plus. And the rate of them, as we've just seen on our little graphic there, prolific, the most prolific goals per minute or whatever, is the best in the Premier League history. So, you know, he had his injury issues, certainly in the last few years of his career. There it is again. We'll say it again. Yeah. Average 1 goal every 108 minutes, which is the best in the Premier League. For those that are listening to this as a podcast, that's pretty outstanding. And that's because maybe others, he didn't play as many games because he had his injury issues, but the goal scoring was always still there and very, very prolific. But I think it's good that you remind people that he wasn't really appreciated as much as that stat tells you, and also the trophies that he won, the way that he played the game. Don't we all love a skillful player, Rob, that can flick, can beat players also, with his creativity?
Do you think because he probably isn't as media friendly? I know maybe the language has been missed. He didn't often do interviews. Do you think sometimes that doesn't? He loses a bit of connection that maybe an Henri who's great talker and makes good connection. You know, and plays a lot of that. Rooney, you know, has got something about Rooney, like the school kid who came into football. The Michael Owen was the young kid who everybody thought, you know, came off a school playground to take the Premier League by storm. Did he lose a little bit of something because he wasn't particularly media friendly? That he's quite an understated guy, gets on with his business. It's almost like you didn't really know Sergio Aguero. You saw this great goal scorer, you saw the goals, but then he was gone from, we didn't really ever see him in the week. We never saw interviews or, you know, he wasn't one of those guys, was he?
No, it's good. It's a good shout. And you're absolutely right. I think the grasp of the language wasn't great beginning-wise. And if he's not comfortable doing interviews, he'll just say, I don't want to do them. And he won't have to do them. We didn't see him a lot. And maybe that's part of it, Rob. Maybe the way that City spent a ton of money, the people weren't respecting certain players in that team and what they did because, City are going to, you know, they win and they spend all the money, they got a great team. But he was a special, special player. And, he'll be missed, in the game, in general, wherever he was going to play. Of course, Barcelona's there for, he hadn't played many games for them. And it's nice to see that they gave him the, you know, the send off and that little setup that he had to kind of say a few words. So,
hopefully we'll see him back at Manchester City. There'll be a statue or there'll certainly be a pitch named after him or something. And we'll get to say our goodbyes in the right way. But a tip of a hat to one of the greatest that's played as an attacker in the Premier League. So, mate, it's a midweek when COVID again affects the Premier League with 5 of the weekend's games postponed. But for those that played midweek, it was normal service resumed for Man City. 7-0 win, 7 straight wins for them at the top of the table. Liverpool got past a plucky Newcastle United team, but Chelsea stuttered to a draw against a well-disciplined Everton outfit. We'll be back on Sunday, that's December the 19th, to review kind of whatever games are playing. If there's matches, there'll be the two Robbies. Actually, if there's matches, there'll be one Robbie and one Timmy. One of the Robbies is down in Miami getting himself a bit of sun. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty. Together with the two Robbies, thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy, take care of yourself. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.